Bet on Bears fans, another edition of the Chicago Bears podcast coming your way. I saw y'all on Friday, Shay. I know I'm not here in person, but I saw y'all Friday. Just hey, just Yurko, just hands out here.
Yeah, I mean, it was Yurkovich story time. He was just filling me with all the great stories from his playing days. Fantastic time.
Listen,
Listen, something's got to be said here. Because I think I'm the first to have the illustrious honor to do this podcast with you and your glorious return as a new father. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
You got the new dad glow.
Thank you. That's called no sleep, Shay. That's called getting woken up every hour and a half to go downstairs and get the pumping tools for my wife.
Excuse me. I thought you were working on kid number three. Wait a minute. She's ain't no rest for the wicked, huh?
There we go. There's supposed to be 6 weeks in there. No, listen, son's doing great. He's still in the NICU, but because he was born early, but he's off, he's breathing on his own, no oxygen, breastfeeding, all that good stuff. So eating on his own, doing everything he needs to do. I'm hoping it'll be on soon. Shay, when I tell you, this kid's about to be massive. He's 34 weeks. His foot is the size of my thumb. Like from tip to my palm here. I lifted his foot. I was like, where'd you pull this gene from? And my dad's a big dude. My dad's about 6'5". He was a big dude. But it's like, Jesus. And the first thing I thought was, all right, we might have a left tackle on our hands here.
I was just going to say, future tackle for the Chicago Bears.
No, I'll pull an Eli. I'm not going to lie to you.
Listen, however bad the organization is right now, it's your hometown team. If your kid gets a chance to play for the Chicago Bears, you are not going to say, no, buddy, we're going to elsewhere. The Green Bay, that's what you're going to do?
I just want them to go where they're going to pay him what he's worth and they're not going to kill him. Hey, we got to talk about, because listen, first off, Green Bay out of it. They're talking about moving on from LaFleur. I'm excited with what's going on Twitter with that discourse. I don't think it's going to happen, but just so much going on. People are insane, bro. Bears fans, don't you just laugh a little bit when you like see other spoiled teams that don't know what it's like to never have a head coach since like Lovie Smith, or that have no idea what it's like to not have a quarterback? I mean, Jordan Love's exactly what I hoped for, Shay.
He stinks.
He's just good enough that you had to pay him. You can't get rid of him. But you are going to deal with the Kirk Cousins effect there forever. I love it. Let's keep that rolling. We got to talk about a few different things on today's show, though. Mike Vrabel off the market. But dare I say, I want the Chicago Bears to do something very similar to what the New England Patriots did. We got to talk about that. Also, got an interview that maybe surprised some fans over this weekend. Riverboat Ron in the building, ladies and gentlemen. Is there going to be an 85 Bear running this thing? Maybe. And Marcus Freeman drumming up some interest. I got to tell you, dare I say, we need to have a conversation on if you miss out on Ben Johnson, where Marcus Freeman should rank. All that more on today's episode of the Chicago Bears podcast. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave a 5-star review. Y'all know what to do. Shay, let's start here. You're a big Ben Johnson guy. So I want to start here with you on the Ben Johnson conversation, because while, listen, say what you want about, you know, Rooney Rule, all of that, Mike Vrabel walks in, shows some leg on the plane. All of a sudden he's got the job the second he lands, right? And I know that Ben Johnson can't agree to anything yet. But from everything that we're hearing, everything that we've talked about, everything, it seems like everything's pointing to the Bears being enamored by Ben Johnson. Even hearing, right, that the interview went well and there's a plan for Caleb and there's a lot of things that are exciting in place for Ben Johnson. I know he cannot agree to it. But if you're serious about your guy, if he's your guy, you should have a blank check on the desk right now and say, I don't care if Tom Brady is glazing you every single time, even in games you're not coaching. Whatever they're paying, we will pay more. I think if you know you have your guy, swing and a miss, if it is, it is. But if he's your guy, we should not be talking to 47 other coaching candidates.
Let me paint you a picture, because you brought up the way the Patriots did things with Vrabel. And this is not verifiable. There's been no reporting around it. This is just the way I feel. Last year, when they fired Bill Belichick, there was a contractual note in Gerard Mayo's contract that he was the coach in waiting, that he would take over whenever Belichick left. I believe that the Patriots knew this was a one-year marriage. It was in his contract. They had to do it out of good faith. Yeah. They had to honor the agreement. But they also knew Mike Vrabel was going to be the head coach in 2025, as far back as late 2023. That's why Vrabel sat out of the cycle last year. That's the way I feel. I'm never going to be able to prove it. They're never going to tell us. Maybe a report comes out. We'll see. But all the breadcrumbs make it certainly seem that way. Right. Why do I bring that up? Correct me if I'm wrong. And I'm not lending validity or credibility or credence to this rumor, but it did exist. Was there not a rumor that last offseason, Ryan Poles and Ben Johnson were enamored with one another?
Yeah.
But Ben Johnson said, I'm going back to Detroit. I want to finish what I've started. This is a build, and we have a chance to win it all. I want to go back. So we kept Eberflus for a year, and now you make your big aggressive swing at Ben Johnson in 2025. Kind of the same picture. The only difference is the Bears are interviewing 100 people and the Patriots interviewed 3.
Yeah, I think you're in the same ballpark, in the same picture there. It's to me, when I look at the Bears situation, it reminds me of what the Chargers did last offseason. Remember, the Chargers interviewed like 47 people, but we kind of all knew they're probably trying to get Jim Harbaugh, aren't they?
Sure.
They're going all in for Jim Harbaugh. They're going to put whatever they need to on the table for Jim Harbaugh. And then all of the sanctions are rumored at that time. And we're like, he's not going back to college. He's coming to the NFL. We know they're going all in for Jim Harbaugh. I think that this is a more of a formality of, we want to make it look like they're trying to confuse us with activity over accomplishment. They want it to look like, hey, we're doing everything. We're doing our due diligence. We're looking under every single rock, tree, nook, and cranny. We're going all out.
Yeah.
And I believe that Ben Johnson is your guy. But here's the thing. You need to, in my mind, Ben Johnson needs to know that Ben Johnson is your guy. And I hope that that's coming across in meetings. I hope that's coming across when you have the Zoom meeting with him. I hope that he opened the laptop up and it was just Ryan Poles with a check held up with Ben Johnson's name already, to Ben Johnson, already signed on there with whatever bank they're sending it from. Because he needs to know, if he is your guy, that you're all in on him. Because you know what? Other teams are showing that they're all in on him. And dare I say, Shay, Ben Johnson kind of hit us with a little bit of the okey-doke. Remember the Albert Breer report that he's going to be very selective in these interviews that he's taking. Well, he's already had 4. You know what I mean?
So yeah, but to be fair, I think, granted, there's only 5 jobs, but those are the only 4 that he's going to take. One of them's already gone. I don't believe he's going to interview the Saints. No. It's just not a fit. It doesn't feel like a job he would take. I don't think he's interested. No, but to your point, like, the Bears are interviewing, what, 19, 20 people at this point? There's no way.
Yeah, we're up to 18 with Mike. Well, they Mike McCarthy got denied, but they want, and we'll talk about this later, now to talk to Marcus Freeman, and I don't know if that request has been put in yet or not.
So the reality for me is there's not more than 5 or 6 guys in that group that you seriously believe are candidates to be your head coach.
Yeah.
So the reason you're talking to this many people is one of two things. One, it's a PR ploy, because you know who you're hiring and you just don't want the media and the beat to be able to ask, why didn't you talk to person X if the person you hire fails? Yeah. You just don't want it to happen. So talk to everybody and you can clear that up. Or it's 2, and you're pre-hiring coordinators or pre-interviewing coordinators. You're talking to guys who you don't view as head coaching candidates, but you do view as assistant coaches, and you can start checking those boxes before you have a head coach in place.
No, 100%. And listen, that's what concerns me, because I think if you're doing that, you're not getting Ben Johnson. Heck, if you're doing that, you're not getting Aaron Glenn. You're not getting any of the top candidates. And we've had this conversation a couple times, both on the radio and here on the podcast, of, listen, I believe that's what they did to Flus in that last year. He worked with no one. I've never seen a coaching staff before where the head coach never had a relationship with anyone. The only connection, I believe, was Thomas Brown. And that's just because him and Frank, both of them coached under Frank Wright. Like, it feels like, and remember, I think it was an Athletic report. I don't know if John's put it out or not, but it was, you know, that the Bears want to have this strong front office that's making the big decisions, that's putting people in place to be successful. Well, that strong front office comes with, we're making the big decisions on coordinators, on coaches, on everything. Right. And I just don't think you're getting the best of the best to come in here. If you want to talk about the guys, it may be a Joe Brady, right? First opportunity. Yeah, I'll work with you a little bit. Maybe in that situation you get a guy like that. But the number one guy who's on everyone's list, and Ben Johnson, is not coming to Chicago. If you're trying to select his coordinators, and when the first thing I thought, and we'll talk about Chico as well, but when I heard Ron Rivera's name pop up, I was like, he's 63 years old. There's no way that's the guy we're rolling with here. But he'd be a heck of a DC for this defense. Lance Briggs talks about him as one of the best DCs that he had. The team was very aggressive. It was an aggressive style. We've said the Bears need to be more aggressive defensively. He's gotten the most out of guys, and he's not going to take any BS. He's also been a head coach before that can back up a young head coach trying to figure it out. That's what that felt like to me. That's concerning, though. I think that's the most concerning thing if they are doing that.
It's only a concern if Ben Johnson says, I do not want to work with Chico Rivera. Yeah. The process happened in a way, though, where they interviewed Ben Johnson, they finished the interview with Ben Johnson, and then they announced they're interviewing Ron Rivera. If it's what we feel like it is, and they're talking to him more to be a defensive coordinator, we don't have any info. Yeah. But could it be that Ben Johnson sat down and was like, oh, yeah, I love Ron Rivera. I'd take him as a DC for sure. He'd help me out a lot. And then you talk to Ron Rivera.
Yeah.
Like, the process happened in a way where we can't rule out that possibility. And again, this is all speculation. And I'm with you in the sense that you don't want to organizationally have in mind who your coordinators are going to be for a coach that you haven't hired. The coach should have the ability to get guys that he can work well with and that he believes in and that he trusts. Otherwise, it just feels like you're building disaster again.
Yeah.
Look, man, I'm at a point now. We've been spinning our wheels on this for a week and a half. Really longer than that, because we've known since Eberflus was fired
pretty much.
Yeah, it's been months that we've been spinning our wheels, and now it's like we're into the process and we get a billion names and everybody wants to have an opinion and a reaction to every name that they hear. I'm at a point where I'm not going to get caught up in who it is. If it's Ben Johnson, that's my preference. That's who I would like the most. I'll be thrilled. If it's Mike McCarthy, I'm not going to sit here and just like shit on it. I think that there are positives to hiring a guy like Mike McCarthy. If you want to say it's Brian Flores, okay, I can get behind it. I can understand the process. What I can't have is you go to Miami and get Anthony Weaver, who's the name nobody was talking about.
Yeah.
Or you hire Arthur Smith, who's the OC that's like fifth, sixth in line. Or you get a retread coach like Ron Rivera, who, honestly, can we just say your defensive end, Montez Sweat, who you paid through the nose to be here for a while, played for Ron Rivera and called that culture toxic openly?
Yeah.
Like, maybe not the greatest pairing. Regardless, my point is this. Whoever they hire, make it the top shelf of whatever path you decide to go down. If you're going to go offensive coordinator, make it Ben Johnson. If you're going to go head coach retread, make it Mike McCarthy. If you're going to go defensive coordinator, make it Brian Flores. Get the top shelf guy from whichever archetype you choose. Don't end up with the fifth name under the offensive coordinator list.
Yeah.
Or the third name under the defensive coordinator list. Or the fourth name under the retread list. Get the best guy. Get the top shelf hire from whatever category you choose to fill. Because, Pat, you and I can't control who they're going to hire. I wish we could. I wish we could get in the room, and I wish we could put the check down for McGeorge signed and say, here you go, Ben. This is all you. I wish we could do that.
Yeah.
But we can't. So I'm not going to sit here and keep just like getting angry or caught up in what the name is. Just do me a favor and don't do, I'll call it this, the financially responsible thing. Spend a little money and get the top shelf guy.
And listen, give him what he needs. That's the thing. I love the fact that when we heard that the Bears were open to opening up the checkbook, that it wasn't just for the head coach, because you can get the head coach and then go, all right, but you got, you know, we're not paying these coordinators big money, dog. You're getting, you know,
right,
1.5 mil for your OC or your DC or whatever it is, right? Ben Johnson's the highest paid coordinator in the NFL, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
Aaron Glenn's on that list as well. You want to know why Detroit's successful? It's not just the talent on the field. They saw great coaches. They saw what they were able to do. They paid them. Top teams pay their coordinators. They pay their coaches. They take care of the people that are in the building. The Bears want this family vibe. They want this. Everybody loves each other. Love is great. Love's a lot better when there's a check behind it. And yeah. I think that's the, for me, you bring up, you know, go out and get the best guy. Go out and get the best guy on the list, no matter who it is, or the best guy who's available to you. For me, take the biggest swing. If Ben Johnson picks Vegas, I would have a report out the next day that the Bears basically said, whatever Vegas offered, we offered $5 million more. And Ben Johnson didn't want it. We tried. Because that was my beef with Jim Harbaugh not coming here. I never expected Jim Harbaugh to be here. You have the commissioner of the Big Ten in the building, who him and Harbaugh clearly did not get along in his time there. You knew what that situation was. What irritates me is there was no, hey, Jim, how's it going? Hello, Jim? Jim, are you there? Jim hung up. Must have been a bad connection. Let's call Jim back. Jim, hello? Oh, it keeps hanging up. At least try. It's been my problem with this Bears regime. It's my problem with how you address the offensive line. It's my problem with how you basically, if right, you say Matt Eberflus kind of in a lame duck season, you didn't really try to give Caleb Williams the best assets this season. You didn't take the bat off of the shoulder. Like, the Bears are stuck in this rut of we're going to be a reactionary football team. We're going to be a reactionary organization. How many times have we seen when the media puts a little bit of fire underneath the Bears, all of a sudden that's a hot word or that's a key word, and now all of a sudden you see that happening. Remember, we were all after Matt Nagy. Why aren't you running the football? Next game, he runs it 25 times. Hey, he figured it out. Doesn't run it after that. Matt Eberflus, yo, we need accountability in the building. Next week, he's the most accountable person you've ever seen in your life after a game loss.
Yeah, and I don't think it's a coincidence this year either that the culture and the leader of men stuff started in the media, and the Bears suddenly are looking for a leader of men who will build a high culture. And I do think, like you said, reactionary, a perfect word, because I would prefer that this organization behave progressive and take a big swing on a young offensive coordinator who rejuvenated a younger quarterback that people kind of thought was a dead asset in Jared Goff, made him one of the best quarterbacks in football. And for everybody who goes, yeah, but his offense is predicated on play action and RPO and rollouts and making it easy. That's a problem? An offensive coordinator making life easy for his quarterback is an issue? I'm sorry, that's a problem? Like, that's the same people who go, well, Jaden Daniels isn't as good because Cliff Kingsbury makes his life easy. And it's like, yeah, okay, I can look at Caleb Williams and see a higher ceiling because he has more on his plate and he still achieved quite a bit. But I can also say it would have been pretty smart to make Caleb's life easier. Like, if you're discounting a coordinator because they have a great offensive line, do they play no part in the blocking schemes? Do they play no part in the play calling and the sequencing?
Shay, the same people that go, I think that we have too many weapons.
Yeah.
Many weapons on the team, you can't get the ball to all of them. What?
No, I think there's a little bit of truth to the fact that getting Keenan Allen and Roma Dunze and DJ Moore negatively impacted Cole Kmet. He wasn't as involved offensively,
fall off, sure.
But that's not a reason to not go get the next offensive mind. And for me, it's just That's what's winning. Like, look at this league. Look at the coaches that are left in the playoffs. Take Dan Quinn out. The rest of them are first-time guys. Like, it's Andy Reid, an offensive guy who calls plays, Dan Quinn, and then a bunch of first-timers who are all wunderkind boy genius.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
I agree. And I think that for some reason, and this is the part where I think it has to be you. We call all of these guys offensive minds, right? But Kyle Shanahan is a leader of men. Why? Yeah. They've had one of the best defenses in football over the past 5 years. You look at the Rams, Sean McVay, offensive guru, leader of men. One of the best defenses in the NFL with Aaron Donald was able to manage that. Like, leader of men to me is such an overused word now because it's really just about, can you get both sides of the football working at the same time? And can you win? Everyone's a leader of men when they win.
Yep.
Everybody's this great coach when you win.
Nothing bothers me more than like people who say winning doesn't create a great culture. No, it does. Winning is your culture. Winning is a culture. Losing is a culture. And that's really it. It's quite literally that black and white. You don't believe me? How about the Eagles, who have a bona fide asshole at receiver in AJ Brown? And this is not me like taking a personal shot. It's just what it is. When after a game where he had 3 targets, 1 catch, and 10 yards, he's standing in his locker saying, I refuse to talk to the media today. I'm not talking today. They ask him why. He said, that'd be talking. And he walks away because he's pissed. He's doing a little crybaby routine. They didn't get enough catches and enough targets in a playoff win. Does that scream good culture? Does that scream happy locker room? Guess what? They're in the NFC divisional round, and they won 14 games this year. That's your culture.
Yeah.
Winning games is your culture.
And you have people that can overcome it. Every locker room that had to deal with T.O., all I ever heard from every other team, I wouldn't want that headache on my team.
Yeah, how about Randy Moss?
He's the second greatest wide receiver of all time. He's been to 2 Super Bowls? Did T.O. get 2 Super Bowls or 1? Maybe just one. One in San Fran. I don't remember. But like he was a winner. He went into places and he put up points and he put up yards and he won games. I don't remember a lot of those seasons where T.O. didn't win. And yeah, there's a bunch of people that say he was toxic for the locker room, but you won. Maybe it wears thin on you. Guess what? Jim Harbaugh wears thin just about everywhere he goes. Michigan's the only place he didn't wear thin. He broke some rules.
I'd argue he did wear thin there. He just overcame it for once. No, it's just, dude, it really is that simple, though. Winning is good culture, period. Yeah. If you win games, you can overlook a lot. You can overcome a lot. And if you lose games, you can't. And that's, look, if you hire a guy who's not going to keep people accountable, then you made a brutal error in the head coaching search. That should be the bare minimum. I don't want to hear we need a leader of men type. And look, I can be wrong. Like if Ben Johnson sits in an interview and they go, oh, this guy's got no ability to hold people accountable. He can't be a leader. He's just an offensive coordinator. Okay, then I'll trust you and I'll believe you. And I hope you make a hire for someone who is a leader. But the idea that you don't need an offensive genius, you need a leader of men. Why can't we have both? Why does being an offensive quote-unquote genius mean you aren't a leader? You don't have those chops.
It's so weird because it's all we see. Is Kevin O'Connell a leader of men?
I don't know. He's an offensive genius.
Is Matt LaFleur a leader of men? Maybe not after last night. Is Matt LaFleur a leader of men? You know what I mean? You look at all of these guys who are the offensive gurus who are leading teams. But all we think of them is as he's just calling plays. That's not the case. And you know what? Shay, I'm going to make a case for someone just in case, right? Because there's a lot of bears that goes on here with hiring guys. So I can't sit here and tell you that I'm 210% confident that by the time a coach is hired, we're going to be announcing Ben Johnson as the Chicago Bears' next head coach, because that's usually not how we do things. But there's a name that has popped up. He popped up over the weekend, and per Tom Pelissero, the Bears are doing a deep dive into him that we got to talk about. But first, I do want to tell you guys that I'm excited to let you know about a new partner that we have here on the Chicago Bears podcast, a new partner of ours in Mitch Lyons Wealth. Mitch Lyons is a former NFL player, and he's the expert in protecting your nest egg and optimizing your income. Go to Mitch Lyons, L-Y-O-N-S, wealth.com. Mitch Lyons Wealth.com, your best game plan to protect, grow, and win retirement. We're going to need him in the future, Shay. Keep that in mind.
There you go. Long way away.
Long way away. By the time I have put in for a few people that when I just start making like old man takes, somebody just put me down.
Oh, dude, I'm the same way. There are too many people in this business that die on the microphone. I mean, like, when I get to the point that I'm doing boomer radio, just somebody smother me with a pillow. Like, if I'm ever the guy that's like, they don't play defense in the NBA anymore, put a pillow over my face and smother me.
Wait, is that boomer radio? Because they don't play defense in the NBA anymore.
I got bad news. Can't watch this garbage. They don't play any defense.
That's stuff. Now there was one guy, legitimately, full side note, there was one guy, he broke it down and he said every single team in the NBA is playing Spurs basketball. You just don't like how it looks because everybody doesn't shoot the same percentages. Yeah, and I was like, yeah. I you know what the Spurs didn't do? They didn't tell freaking Bruce Bowen or Bruce Bonner to be pulling corner threes, fading away, falling out of bounds. But yeah, man, I digress. Let's get back.
I guess the better way for me to frame it is if I ever become the guy that clearly stopped doing homework a while ago, relying on name, and it like, he looked a little like Patrick Mahomes there, didn't he? That was pretty Mahomey.
We're just running at all the old names back. You know, this guy reminds me of Ben Roethlisberger.
Hey, Mike, you see that throw there? He looked a lot like Patrick Mahomes on that one. That's a great play on third and one. Like, once I'm that,
yeah,
put me out. Yeah. Put me out of my misery.
So once you're Tom Brady, once you're Tom Brady, basically.
Wow. Great call, KB. Yeah, he's got a lot of juice. Wow.
God, that was so bad.
They're all bad. I mean, you go from Brady just saying nothing and go, wow, great call, KB, to Romo. Ooh, Jim, I can't wait to call that game. I've been waiting all year. It's like, dude, what are you trying to poop? Everything's so strained. And then he just glaze Josh Allen for 4 hours to Collinsworth, where everybody looks like Patrick Mahomes. I could go on. I could do 4 hours on it. I'm good. We don't need to do it here.
It's bad with so many. Brady's much worse than I thought he was going to be.
He's not good.
I think Brady's the kind of guy who will hear that though from like almost everyone and will work extremely hard. The problem with Romo was, remember, like, they flew down to like his hotel in Dallas or something like that, and were like, dude, you suck.
Yeah.
And you need to work harder. And he was like, nah, I think I got it. Romo's done. He's just like, hey, I played football in this league. Let me tell you something. That guy throws the football. I've noticed he stopped predicting plays now that he has no idea what NFL offenses are running every single play because they're not his offense.
Yeah. I got theories around it. We don't have to get into it.
That's a deep side note.
We got to talk about a very young and handsome individual rumored in the Bears head coaching talks. Yeah,
listen, I wasn't going to drop the handsome one there, but Marcus Freeman is the name.
Pat, we can call it what it is. He's very good looking. It's frightening. Right? If he comes to town, dude,
you have a wife? Are you hiding the wife?
This is the Usher situation. I can't let my wife know he's in town. We can't have that. That's scary.
Was that Dominique Foxworth who's like wife was like, who's your favorite quarterback? He's like, Jalen Hurts. I love him. I love everything about Jalen Hurts. And now he like hates Jalen Hurts. Is that what's gonna happen? You're gonna hate Marcus Freeman.
Too good looking, bro. Like you tell you, if my wife asked who my favorite quarterback was in college, I'd say Carson Beck. She'd take one look. She'd go, I never need to watch that guy.
Yeah, that's tough. But the one thing I will say about Marcus Freeman outside of his looks is the Bears apparently have been very interested in Marcus Freeman. Per Tom Pelissero, they've been doing extensive research for months that to try and bring him in. And Shay, I'm going to sit here and make a case. If you're spending money anyway, I know he just got paid at Notre Dame. That's every comment. Every time I bring up Marcus Freeman, just got paid. Why would he leave? We've never seen a coach do that, right? It's never happened in history in college. If you miss out on Ben Johnson, I would argue that Marcus Freeman should be your number one candidate after Ben Johnson. When you talk about the youth, 39 years old, for me, and you're the college guy, so correct me if I'm wrong, what he has done with this Notre Dame team is nothing short of amazing. I don't think preseason anybody expected them to be here. Even during the season, when you kind of saw the team, you're like, yeah, they're good, but it didn't feel great. And then as the season continued to go on, you started to see these guys playing at a different level that is now a national championship competitor level. And for me, with the situation that the Bears have here, you need a culture builder. And I know it's very early, but when I see Marcus Freeman and I think about Brian Kelly leaving, 11-1 season, leaves there. We got to do this for my family. I don't know where that Southern accent came from out of nowhere, right? Like, goes to LSU, says it's a lot easier to win when you're in the SEC, when you're not at Notre Dame. And I see him take that program. Yes, it was a winning culture, but Brian Kelly wasn't great in there. Didn't get you this far except for one time, got his head kicked in there. At least to me, it feels like Notre Dame is going to compete in this game versus Ohio State.
Same. I think they might win it.
I think they might win it 100%. To me, the fact that you have somebody that can build a culture like that, I believe this is your young version of Jim Harbaugh. This is what you wanted. Somebody who walks in and turns a program around. Yeah, you were winning games in the season. Now let's go win the biggest game of the season.
Yeah, I think people have the NIU loss stuck in their head, and he's good for a couple inexplicable ones. I mean, he lost to Ohio State in the opener in his first season and then lost to Marshall the following week, and he had lost the bowl game that he coached when Brian Kelly left, so people were talking about Marcus Freeman at that point, like, is he going to survive the year?
Yeah.
And he ended up going 9-4, which you go 9-4 and your quarterback's Drew Pine, who I know most people listening to this are Googling. He sucks. If you go 9-4 with Drew Pine, did pretty good. Yeah. Then you go 11-3 with Sam Hartman, even better season. Things are looking up. Then you have this year. And yes, they lost to NIU, but I would just contextualize that for people. They opened the season going on the road to Texas A&M at night, one of the most hostile environments known for the 12th man, the birthplace of the 12th man, Kyle Field. Night game, the cadets are going nuts, it's loud. Notre Dame went in there opening week, beat them. Then they go back to South Bend, and their gift for beating A&M is a sleepy noon kick against Northern Illinois. Like, it's going to be a little different getting up for that game than it was the one you just won. And the answer to losing that game inexplicably is, we're going to beat the brakes off everybody in our path and go to the national title game. So immediately just forget the NIU loss. Doesn't matter. Not relevant.
Yeah.
What I think of Marcus Freeman is, I think he's the second best coach in college football right now behind Kirby Smart. I think it's Kirby Smart, Marcus Freeman. The rest is up to you. You want to say Dabo, you want to say Ryan Day. It gets paltry. I'll be honest. The coach listing in college football, not a lot of greats right now. I think Marcus Freeman's putting himself there. Here's the fact of like what he's done at Notre Dame and why it's so incredible. I did think they'd make the playoff. I didn't think they'd make it the way they made it, where, Pat, they lost five starters on their defensive side of the ball.
Yep.
And it's not just like, oh, we lost our starting D tackle who's okay. No, they lost both their starting defensive ends. They lost their star defensive tackle. They lost their best defensive back in Benjamin Morrison. And they went to the national title.
Yep.
Regardless of what happens, that alone is an unbelievable accomplishment. He's awesome.
Yeah.
And he's young, so he can connect with the modern generation of players. Clearly, he's got whatever it is, he's got it. It just drips off of him. He's done a listen. I've made it
now
clear.
We're back to the beginning conversation.
I've made it clear the man is attractive. Is what it is. But like, argue it. He's whatever you're looking for in a head coach. If leader is what you want, if character is what you want, whatever, he has it.
Yeah.
And he might not be an offensive mastermind. Hell, he might not even be an offensive guy. He might not be a defensive mastermind, but he's done a pretty damn good job with what he's been given, and he's done a good job with his assistant coaches, and he's done a good job recruiting talent, especially in the transfer portal where he's gotten his last two quarterbacks. Just, I think he's great, and I would be willing to take a swing on a guy who's not even 40 yet if I can't get Ben Johnson. Yeah, I'd start talking to Marcus Freeman. I'd take it very seriously.
And
I'd try to get him out of South Bend.
And I think here's the big thing, though, and this is the part where I'm sorry. I get it, right? It's not NFL, not NFL talent. He's not dealing with NFL players. It's kind of different now. Let's have a conversation there. He's dealing with professionals. He is dealing with people who are signing contracts and making money. He is dealing with professional athletes. So we can throw that notion away that he's not dealing with professionals. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, right, Notre Dame gets all of the money because they're non-conference.
Yeah. Yep.
So basically they get like $15 million a year that they can throw literally just at NIL.
Yeah, so they got $14 million for the quarterfinal win. I don't know what the payout was or if there was one in the first round because they got home game revenue, stuff like right. that. $14 million for the quarterfinal win. I think a little bit more than that for the semifinal win. And even just losing in the national title game, they will make more than their exclusive TV deal with NBC to lose that game.
You're paying professional athletes. This is not the world before where it's like, well, he doesn't know how to deal with guys who make money. He knows how to deal with guys who make money. Also, he knows what it's like to be above a program. And dare I say, I think Ben Johnson's the number one. Let's not get it confused. But if you miss out on Ben Johnson, there is a conversation to be had on. If you're talking Todd Monken, if you're talking Aaron Glenn, if you're talking Joe Brady.
Yeah.
They don't run teams. This guy runs a team.
Yeah.
He essentially is his own GM.
Now, here's your problem, though, because, like, I would take it seriously if I were the Bears. Why should Marcus Freeman take it seriously? Think about everything we just laid out. He's going to dwarf their TV deal revenue, even if he loses the national title game, not counting the money he's already made the program by winning the games to get here. They have resources coming out of their ears at this point. They are every bit as capable as Oregon or Ohio State to go out and build a $30 million roster. They have every ability to capitalize on what college football is now because of the success that he's had.
Yeah.
And I would just say, for me, and I am a college guy, there are a few jobs in the college ranks that I think, if you have success, are equal to, if not better than, certain NFL jobs. Mm. And it's very rare that an NFL job's better than these. Those, to me, Texas, Ohio State, Michigan, Notre Dame, Alabama. If you have success at any of those five programs, you've got a better gig than 90% of NFL jobs. And how do you convince Marcus Freeman that it's better for him to leave Notre Dame and go to the Chicago Bears?
I think that's the part where Ryan Poles has to be the salesman. I also think that that's the part where that line that is for Ben Johnson, and I would assume that's kind of an only Ben Johnson thing, right? I mean, you're not breaking the bank to get Anthony Weaver in here. You're probably not breaking the bank to get Brian Flores in here, if we're being honest.
Yeah.
you have to break the bank for a guy like that. A guy who's a culture builder, a guy who's a net, and what's he already making? Nine million?
Yeah, I think it's $9 million. He's locked up through 2030, but obviously he can get out of that anytime he wants.
Hey, buddy, you want 18? Big swing.
Jesus.
Well, because here's the thing.
You're not kidding on the big swing.
Well, because here's my thing. If you're going to take a swing at a guy, you're going to have to convince him, like you said, this is a better situation than where you're at. It's tough to do that with college coaches. How many times did people try to get pry Nick Saban out of Alabama after he left, after he went back to college? How many times? And he's like, no, I'm not leaving. This is amazing. I'm God here. I speak and people jump.
That's what I'm saying. And I know, like, people fight me on Michigan, obviously, because Harbaugh went back to the NFL, but Harbaugh wanted the NFL. Like, yeah. He's just a unique cat. That's what he wanted. And it was the one place he hadn't won. I thought he honestly should have stayed at Michigan, but obviously the sanctions coming down kind of forced his hand. It's just, like Saban, there are jobs in the college that are, if Marcus Freeman wins the national title, he's God in South Bend.
Yeah.
And then there's the case, what happens if he loses the national title and Ryan Day gets an NFL gig off of a national title and Marcus Freeman goes, I'm going to go home and starts coaching Ohio State? Like, it's just, there will be other suitors.
Yeah.
And Ohio State is one of those jobs where you can go and be God. You can be Woody Hayes. You can be Urban Meyer. And yeah, the Bears are one of them, but hard to look at the history of the Bears lately and say it'll be easier to have success there than to continue what I've built at Notre Dame or to go to a place like Ohio State.
Yeah. No, listen, I think it's a massive swing, but for me, like, there's not a name on this list that runs a team. Except for the former coaches, right? Mike McCarthy. Listen, if Mike McCarthy is available, Mike McCarthy's high on my list. Say what you want about him. Be upset about him. If you know, for the people out there, why would you ever want Mike McCarthy? He doesn't win. Mike McCarthy's won a Super Bowl. He's won playoff games. He's won a ton of stuff.
Speaking of which.
Uh-oh. You got some breaking news here?
A little breaking news live on the pod.
Oh.
Members of Cowboys coach Mike McCarthy's staff have now been informed the two sides are separating and his contract will expire. McCarthy is free to speak with other teams. Saints and Bears are the top of the list.
Well, now we got to pivot because we're having this conversation right now. Dare I say, Mike McCarthy has a lot of cachet for me. Mike McCarthy has a lot of what I want in a coach. First things first, say what you want about Dak Prescott. I've told you, he's black Kirk Cousins. That's who he is to me. There's just a bunch of Kirk Cousins around the league. He's black Kirk Cousins. Dak Prescott has had two MVP caliber seasons under Mike McCarthy. He's also had a slew of other great seasons. He's had some injury-filled seasons, and Mike McCarthy has still found ways to win. Heck, they were on a little bit of a run there by the end of the season. We were like, this is... We're a competitive team. Like, he has a culture here that these guys don't quit. That is a name that I am very, very interested in. I get it. You don't want the retread head coach. You don't want to go out there and get the guy who doesn't win in the playoffs with a ton of talent there and stuff like that. Sometimes that's how the cookie crumbles in this league.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to shit on it. I could talk myself into the idea of it. I can talk myself into Mike McCarthy much easier than I can talk myself out of it.
Yeah.
My problem, and it's just the context, like Mike McCarthy weighed against Ben Johnson or weighed against potentially Marcus Freeman or a younger guy like that.
Yeah.
It's Mike McCarthy's had a lot of regular season success. When's the last time he made a conference title game?
When was that Brandon Bostic fumbled the football?
Yeah, I believe
that. I think that was the last time he made a conference title game because they should have went to the Super Bowl that year.
Was that that was the Rodgers in Seattle?
Rodgers, yeah, Seattle. Yep. It's a while. It's been a while. That's
more than a decade ago.
Yep.
It's been a lot of playoff underperformance in a building where you have a massive advantage. Typically, they are playing home games when they make the playoffs. And they've just been underwhelming, and they've had some inexplicable playoff losses. And I think Mike McCarthy, like, I'm not saying I don't want it or I think it's terrible. Just, I think he raises your floor. I don't think you have the limitless ceiling that you get with somebody like Ben Johnson, where, yeah, there's a risk, and you're taking a swing, and Ben Johnson's floor might be abject disaster. Yeah. But I don't think a ceiling exists. Like, if you get it right, if he's right, you bring in that guy and he has success. Think about how long Sean McVay has been with the Rams at this point. Think about how long some guy, like Tomlin, has been with the Steelers. Harbaugh has been with the Ravens.
Yeah.
That's the opportunity you get when you take the big swing. The idea that you get Mike McCarthy, yeah, you raise the floor, and I think you make this team better, and I think you probably can make the playoffs, if not next year, the immediate year following. You'll help Caleb Williams out. You'll probably have a better-looking offense. It's a little more dated, that Texas Coast thing. It's not as new. It could be successful, but it also, I don't think, is going to be a potential 10-year run of immense success. And I think you have the opportunity to find that if you go the Ben Johnson route. So it's just, that's why it's my preference. And I know it's high in the sky, it's magical thinking, and there's no guarantees of anything. I get that Ben Johnson could end in disaster, but I also think the ceiling for him is so much higher than any of the other candidates. If he's who we think he is, then you have Sean McVay.
Yeah. I'm there with you. I think Ben Johnson is your number one. I think he's everyone's number one. But if you move off of Ben Johnson, to me, right, I think McCarthy moves high up the list. When we just had the conversation about Marcus Freeman, right? Marcus Freeman may not want to leave. If he's not there, of the former coaches on the list, he's number one for me.
I think your top three at this point with Vrabel off the board should probably be Ben Johnson. I'll go top four. I would say Ben Johnson, Mike McCarthy, Marcus Freeman, and then take your pick, Liam Cohen, Joe Brady, whatever other coordinator you want to throw in.
Yeah.
But the three I'd prioritize at this point for me would be Ben Johnson, Mike McCarthy, and Marcus Freeman.
Yeah, because here's the thing. We can talk about 10 years down the road. 10 years down the road, if you don't start winning in a year or two. Right. 10 years down the road, like whether McCarthy's here 10 years or not, 10 years down the road don't happen if you don't start winning games going into next season. If you're not at least a 9-win team heading into next season, if you're not figuring things out,
year one can be shitty. Year two, you got to show me something. Or like it's the same reason they kept Eberflus, right? Year one was a disaster, but it was planned disaster. Year two, you saw a little bit. So you're like, okay, we can do it again. Year three went fucking sideways.
Yeah, but this isn't supposed to be planned disaster in year one here. This is supposed to be, hey, we got three picks in the top 41. We got to get this right.
Agree.
We got money to spend. We got to find starting linemen on both sides.
And I think it can be a quicker turnaround than a lot of people are selling, and I'd like it to be massively successful. Look, the point I'm making, I'm not going to hold you to 9 wins year one. Things can happen.
Yeah.
If you win 6-7 games, okay, we can – you're going to be back for year two, but year two is the must. If you don't show me what I need to see in year two, we got problems.
Yeah.
That's going to be with any coach, whether it's Mike McCarthy, whether it's Pete Carroll, whether it's Cliff or Ben Johnson or whoever. Year two's got to be, let's go.
Let's say this though, no matter what, wins the losses aside, Caleb Williams has to look like the guy next year.
I'm going to say he's got to look a whole lot closer to Jaden Daniels than he did this year.
He's got to look like that guy. He's got to look and I get all the other things around it. He has to look like what we've seen the other rookies look like. I get their situation is different on the front line.
And this is why I want an offensive coach. And honestly, is Washington's situation on the front line all that different? They have a better center. But last night, watching that game, Kalijah Kancey was living in their backfield. Yeah. They give up pressures like crazy. The difference is you can't tackle Jaden. He's gone before you get a chance. Kalijah Kancey's in the backfield at the time of the snap. All he could get was Jaden's towel. Like, it just, he's different. I need Caleb to be more like that. I need to see it. And this is why getting an offensive coach to me is so important. There is no asset in that building more important than Caleb Williams. He has to get right. If he doesn't, then in 3 years, it's not going to matter if you hired offense, defense, special teams, college, whatever. Yeah. Everybody's going to be blown out.
And listen, I said it, and it's what scares me the most. In 3 years, who's going to be the coach that's ruining Arch Manning here? That's how it feels. That's how it feels with this team. You put quarterbacks in bad positions. You sit there and say, we got you all the wide receivers in the world. You don't need a left tackle. I saw a stat and I posted it. Everybody's losing their mind. Well, he caused all these. Caleb Williams avoided 50 sacks this season. There's not another quarterback close on that list. He avoided 50 sacks. Well, he's running into other sacks. Probably, because I'm running from the one over here. Like, what you have to get this situation right quickly. Or you may be talking about who the next quarterback is of the Chicago Bears a lot sooner than you think. This may be a Justin Fields situation. We were excited about Justin Fields after year one going into year two. Like, okay, yeah, he showed us a little something, nothing crazy. But you get him more protection, he'll be better. That never happened. Don't do that same thing with Caleb Williams. And for the love of God, don't give him another Matt Eberflus. Now we got McCarthy on the list. This is the worst part, Shay, and we can finish it out with this. It feels like there's so many different directions you could go, and it still work. Dare I say I'd even throw Aaron Glenn on there because of what we've heard about him. He's very similar to Dan Campbell as far as a leader of men and all of that stuff, leader of men. You could go Aaron Glenn. You could go Ben Johnson. You could go Marcus Freeman. You could go Mike McCarthy. You could go Joe Brady. It feels like there's so many options that you could pick from and go, this guy makes sense and he's going to win. Heck, you could go Pete Carroll for 3 years and I think he'd win.
I'm good on that one, but I get the point.
No, hey, I'm good on it. I don't want you. I don't want you paying 73-year-old Pete, 74-year-old Pete. But I think he'd come in here and he'd win games. There's so many options. It feels like it's almost set up for the Bears not to screw this up. The big thing is for you to not be the Bears.
Yeah, how are they going to screw it up? Can't wait to find out. I can't wait. We'll see Smith, come on down.
Dude,
it's going to be Kingsbury. There's a feeling brewing in my gut. It's Kingsbury.
Don't do that to me, dog.
Check every box, bro. I'm telling you, he's worked with Caleb, offensive mind, former head coach. Checks every box. I got a feeling brewing.
You went Kingsbury. I'm not gonna lie to you. I've been saying this the entire time, and they're interviewing him today. They love Thomas Brown. They love him in that building.
It's not a serious interview. They can love him. They can appreciate the work.
I'm going to tell you this right now. And I've said this the entire time. I'll bet he's a finalist.
That could just be a respect thing.
Could be. Could 100% be. But with some of the names on this list, should he be?
No.
With some of the names on this list, we shouldn't be talking about maybe a second interview out of respect. We shouldn't be talking about a third. We shouldn't be talking about you spinning the block. I don't know. I'm nervous, but watch yourselves out there. I think that he could be somebody that stays on the Bears radar for a while. Hey, we appreciate you guys. Lot talked about on this pod. A little bit of breaking news here on this pod. Appreciate you guys for tuning in and showing love. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page. Lead a 5-star view. Y'all know what to do. I'm back. We're back in business this week. Going to be a lot of fun. For Shay Norling, it's your boy Pat the Designer, back at it again. Y'all stay safe out there, Chicago. Bear down, one love. Peace.